Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with show producer Wells Guthrie. Jay Greason had to scoot out a little bit early on this Friday. We hope everybody out there is having a wonderful afternoon and that you and your loved ones have a fantastic weekend. Supposed to get warmer as the weekend goes on. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome back our good friend, does a great job covering South Carolina for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, who is Johnny on the spot in Indianapolis on his way to cover the combine. Josh, how are you today?
Doing pretty good, sir. How are you?
I cannot complain. And let's start with the combine. South Carolina obviously did not have the best season last year, but Javon Kinlaw is one heck of a player that a lot of folks have in the top 10. Josh, you and I used to cover Georgia together. I mean, you've covered Clowney. I know Kinlaw is a different position, but what have you really liked about Javon Kinlaw?
Well, I mean, he is a physical specimen. He is 6'6". He's 300 pounds. He dropped 40 pounds after coming to South Carolina from a junior college. Really committed himself to the weight room and to the nutrition program. And he's got pterodactyl-like arms. His wingspan is 8 feet or something like close to that. And he gets guys off of him. He gets offensive linemen off of him. And he's a guy that I felt like had the ability to potentially be a top-10 pick last year at this time. Not if he had come out, but I thought, you know, if he stayed the course his senior year. And he's done that. And he's impressed a lot of people at the Senior Bowl. And then here this week, and I do think he's got a chance to be in the top 10. I don't think he goes lower than 20 overall for sure.
All right, so he probably, I mean, and not to take away from his talents, because I watched him, you know, when he was an absolute force when they knocked off Georgia in double overtime. But we were just talking a few minutes ago about this Arizona State punter who did 25 repetitions of 225 on the bench, which was four more than Clowney. With Kinlaw having this big-time wingspan, he may not post the biggest bench, but that won't detract from how good he is, right?
No, I don't think so. I think that they look at him and see a guy who's got all the physical tools, is very strong but can get stronger, and has only played football seriously since his junior year in high school, and one of those years was at junior college, and I'm not sure how much development, honestly, you get there. So I think that they look at him as a guy who that they can make even better. All these guys, one of the great things for the prospects at the NFL Combine is that all of these NFL coaches think that they're so smart that they're going to make everybody better. That's why you see people take these reaches on kids, because all these coaches think, well, I'm going to be the guy that's going to get the most out of him. Well, for Javon, he's already really good, but I guarantee there's somebody who thinks I can make that kid even better.
You know, another one, Josh, I mean, Brian Edwards just seemed like he was one of those guys that was at South Carolina for forever. What do you kind of think about his prospects?
He is not a first-round pick. He's probably not a second-round pick, especially because he couldn't work out here because of a broken foot. If he fell to the fourth round, it wouldn't shock me, but I think he's the kind of guy who's got the body type, got the professionalism and the talent that he could stick around for a 5 or 6 or 7 year career. It's, you know, for guys like that who are really, really good football players but not necessarily elite talent, I mean, I think so much depends on luck and fit and where they land as to whether you see them in the league for 3 years or you see them for 9 years.
It's going to be an incredible year as far as the SEC and receivers in this draft when you think about Bama. And, of course, Tennessee has Jennings and Callaway. I mean, there's just a lot. LSU. Let's turn back to Columbia. And first off, Josh, if I had to say, because we love having you on throughout the course of a year, I know there was a lot of talking with the president and AD and back and forth. And every time the president talked, it seemed to be a different kind of message. If you go back to the end of last season, are you surprised that Will Muschamp does have this fifth spring going?
No, I'm not. I thought that Ray Tanner has said publicly and would say it even stronger privately that he is going to be a patient AD. He's going to err on the side of patience. He's a former coach. He sympathizes and empathizes with coaches. And he truly likes Will Muschamp and truly believes in Will Muschamp. So I think that Robert Caslin coming in and being a little bit of a wild card was the only reason you thought Will might not make it to year five. If it was just Ray Tanner's decision, which ended up winning the day, there was always going to be at least a year five for Will. But I think that we've reached a point where even Ray's confidence in him can't save him to year six unless the year five is a lot better. And it may end up costing Ray his job too, because as we know in the SEC and lots of places, but mostly in the SEC, the athletic director's job security is tied pretty tightly with the football coaches.
Of course, Muschamp stays, but he does some staff jockeying around. And, of course, the big one, bringing in Mike Bobo. Of course, you and I go way back with Mike. He's the offensive coordinator, and last year's play caller and offensive coordinator, Brian McClendon, goes back to receivers coach. First off, I mean, from the Brian McClendon standpoint, have you had a chance to visit with him in depth, and how does he kind of take that move? Because a lot of times you don't see demotions and then people just sticking with that staff.
Yeah, well, we have not had a chance to visit with him, and we learned last week that we will not, unlike previous years, be able to talk to him this spring. So that I found that to be interesting, because position coaches, which he is now, won't speak this spring. We do know that he interviewed for a job with the Pittsburgh Steelers this month, didn't get it, or he would have been gone. Okay. But we also know that he's got a history with Mike. He likes and respects Mike. And we know that he's still going to make $1 million, even though he's not calling plays next year. So South Carolina,
wow,
unless something wacky happens in the offseason, South Carolina will be the only school in the nation with $3 million-plus assistant coaches. So, you know, that's a lot to pay for 4 wins.
Okay, wow. You're listening to Josh Kittle, does a great job covering South Carolina for The Athletic. You're listening to Josh here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. We've had Mike Bobo on our show. You and I both go way back with him, back to his playing days, and I've always liked Mike, thought he was a good guy, and he goes out to Colorado State, and he runs into some health issues. How does Mike's – I mean, he looks a lot older, and I don't mean this mean. It's just kind of – it is what it is.
No,
I mean, he looks a lot older than he is. How does he seem to you?
He is getting healthier. He still moves around pretty slow. He said he has recently been able to start jogging a little bit, which is a big step for him. They told him, he said, when this process started, when they figured out what was wrong with him, that his progress was going to be measured not by inches but by millimeters. And so he's just had to walk through that as patiently as he could. But he's moving around okay, if slowly, and he can jog a little bit now, which for him has been a big step.
It was Will Muschamp, I guess, on Tuesday, whenever he spoke the introductory spring teleconference or news conference, where he said that, you know, with Mike coming in, Helinski and the offense will be under center more. And I know you had relayed that out on social media and in articles. And I know that there's been some backlash about that. I guess you've got some, you know, I guess in these days of high-flying offenses at Alabama and LSU, there was some brushback to that comment, wasn't there?
I guess, yeah, well, there certainly was, and it surprised me because, again, my thought is, you know, South Carolina ran the spread, essentially the last version of the spread the last 2 years, and it didn't go well. So what would be the objection to trying something a little bit different? And all that Will Muschamp said was, we'll probably be more under center. We have no idea what that means. And frankly, South Carolina doesn't yet, because Mike Bobo, until last week or earlier this week, hadn't seen his players on the field. But I do think that Marshawn Lynch, the four-star running back who signed out of Maryland, might be their best offensive player next year. And so maybe you do go under center and you've got a veteran offensive line. We'll see if it's any good, but it's veteran. And maybe that is your strength. But you know, throwing the ball all around, you know, South Carolina led the SEC in pass attempts last year and was really bad on offense. So I'm not sure why you necessarily want to cling to that.
Yeah, good point. All right, if I had to ask just the strengths and weaknesses, because you mentioned the highly regarded running back that's come in. I did read one of your articles that said that I guess South Carolina has just 3 scholarship running backs, so that's certainly a position that needs to stay healthy. But if you had to just kind of assess the what you view as the biggest position area strength of this team, and maybe as a follow-up, the biggest weakness.
I missed your last part of your question. The strengths of this team, I would say, are the running backs, if Marshawn Lloyd is as good as they say, because they've got a sophomore named Kevin Harris who I think can be pretty good, especially as a 1-2 punch with Lloyd. Quarterback is a real unknown. The offensive line are veterans. The wide receivers, they've got one guy coming back who caught more than 20 passes like last year. The defensive line, they've lost Ken Law and DJ Wanham, who's also up here for the combine. The linebackers were just okay last year. I think J.C. Horn and Israel Mukuyama are pretty good cornerbacks, so that might be the strength of the team. But this is a team that's got a lot of question marks, a lot of spots.
Yeah, and that was my follow, is just like if I had to ask the strength and then the follow-up, the what do you think is the most glaring weakness?
The most glaring weakness in my mind right now is quarterback, honestly. I mean, you've got Ryan Helinski, who is highly regarded, but it's coming off a poor season, and his confidence was shaken. And you've got a kid who they brought in, college graduate transfer from Colorado State, named Colin Hill, who I'm not sure will even be healthy enough to play. They think he will be, but he's had three ACL tears since he's been in college. So that's the position number one that they've got to get sorted out, or none of the rest of this stuff matters.
And then, Josh, before we let you go, I mean, you've done some hoop stuff as well, and we've said before, I mean, Frank Martin's in his eighth year, and he's only been to one NCAA tournament. Now, granted, he got all the way to the Final Four, and that can certainly buy some time. They're sitting there just kind of right on the bubble, and we've talked this week. I mean, you think about, you've got to find 68 teams to put in a tournament, and there have been a lot worse resumes than what South Carolina has. I know they've got the home loss to Stetson, but they won at UVA, and they've beaten Kentucky. So how do you see this shaking out? Do you think they get in? And if they don't, is that any kind of trouble for Martin?
I don't think they get in. They've got that Stetson loss and a loss to Boston University at home. They beat Virginia. They beat Clemson on the road. They did beat Kentucky. But I don't think that this is the team that's on the bubble. I don't think they make it. But, no, I don't think there's enough stomach with the football situation the way it is to make a change at basketball right now.
All right. Interesting times. Well, listen, Josh, thank you so much for joining us. Have a good time at the Combine, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
All righty. Josh Kendall, always enjoy having him on. Does a great job covering South Carolina for The Athletic. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.